This is just with regard to, make sure I have what I need here. Yeah. So we spent quite a bit of time on Shiva Saravana. Just on one point, Natha brought to my attention that the one of the things we were mentioning is the issue that a lot of the Acharon deal with, what does Rama do with Mahani Tapase? Where do they get to the problem of Lakshmi Maisa? In portraying that, I was just trying to like take a step back and look at the big picture and try to demonstrate that Rama, again and again and again and again, is just extremely machmir and has very interesting and strong views about Bhagavad. And one of the things I was saying was that if he had the gears of Abhinita Klasse, and if he's the first one to point the Lakshmi Maisa, and if it's based on the hints, the remnants in the Tosefta, as the Vishnu suggests, etc., then that contributes further to the idea that the Rama has this broad conviction and this consistent view. So it's not the brought to my attention that actually the Girsa Lakshmi Maisa already appears in the Rach within the Kamala, and that's true on Bhaktali Eva. As we mentioned, there is an issue whether Maharasat has a Girsa Lakshmi Maisa, and many of the Kisaya apparently not. But apparently, Ibn Kamala, Maharasat Eva, actually has the direct Girsa Lakshmi Maisa, where he was comparing Losotsi and Lo Yirah. So again, we have the dummy way. The Rach here says, we call it the Etzem Osibu Lach Kayimba Malkus. One second. We might do Shitsu Kondo. One second. I think it's printed here on Sadi Heyon base. Am I right? Or the bottom side of the Gemara?
It's both. He has two Lishnas in the Gemara, but he has it in both. It's
he has
both
it
on the Aleph and on the Beis.
Yeah. I'm just trying to find the line. Yeah. Umemai tiro the chosor the double line lav sheiva maisa ilokim. It's there lav sheiva maisa. Okay. Then he has again another base for the second. So again, that and we should just be clear that the tradition of the Rabbi Nachman was hugely relevant to the Rambam. This is the Rambam and the Rach's impact on the Rif and Rambam is enormous. So at least on that part of it, like where did the Rambam get Lakshmi Maisa, that part is less first of all, the first, and secondly, it's not based on the Tosefta, apparently, or the remnants of the Tosefta, the connection to the Kaim and Kalayim, although I'm sure I couldn't have enforced it. But it is his Girsa, apparently, or his understanding of the Gemara, based apparently on the tradition that already is reflected by Mego earlier. I have to check the Gaonim, Rabbi Chaim. So that's an important fact, just to be aware of. It doesn't change at all. It doesn't alter the analysis, as far as I'm concerned. There's still sufficient basis to see the Rambam's creative hand, certainly in the view of Malka's part, and all the other things as well. But either way, that's an important factual direction. That's point number one. The second thing is we're in the middle of discussing Kutchin, before we move on to Navarish Kinshasa, and then try to summarize a little more on the question of Re'iya and Gulin in Bhagavad, there's a point that I was about to speak about, and then we ended, and then again I'll have to ask about it afterwards, and it's on my list. And that is the question of Kutchin. We discussed the fact that Shalakir and Mishal Gadoa, the Rishon's question, is that come from one source or two sources are discussed. The Babli, Shalkata, Yatara, Tara, Shalkata, Shalkata, coming from one source of discussion in Shalkata, as opposed to the Mechilta, that Rashi also quotes in Shmos, it comes from two places. And either way, what I was trying to suggest was a little bit based on the model of the Tosis Shas. So it's unlike the printed Tosis, who perceive everything here as the same. And the only question is, you know, what's the Girsa in other places, and whether or whether you know, the places where you have multiple psukim on the marker to acquaint these things in other contexts. What we're trying to say is that logically, there may be very different kind of dinim. You know, when you're dealing with a violin, a din of the violin, and when you're dealing with a din of the chafetza, where, you know, we're talking about sagabra or sagabza, where you're talking about the need for bailos, or you're talking about the status of bailin hapotrin, but these are all very, very different dinim. I'll give an example in, again, Tosfos Shas's discussion, what's re'eu? Right? Clearly, nachri is not re'eu, and hekdesh, you know, that's a little trickier. Obviously, it's a Jewish institution. You know, it belongs collectively, let's say, to Kol Yisrael. So it's not a personal re'eu, you know, but, you know, still. On the other hand, as a chafetza, you could make the argument that kachin, you know, has a greater imprimatur than nachri. It's an interesting question, at least. And then I try to highlight it a little bit based on the, you know, possible distinction between Akum and Nahri in Chal, right, based on Yerushalmi and Mikiva. But that's just a paradigm. So whether it's the Tosfos Shas or that paradigm in Yerushalmi, the point, the bigger point that we're trying to make is that where you require Bailim HaMechuyadim, it's much easier to say that the exclusion, you know, is all one and the same exclusion. And therefore, one makar maybe can carry the load of excluding the re'eu, or you need, you know, personal ownership. Those are two different things, obviously. If it's re'eu, then anybody who's not re'eu is excluded. If it's lecha, you need your own Bibles, and so anybody who's not you, you know, is excluded. And if that's the din in chametz, which according to Tosas, implicitly in the Me'iri, explicitly, you know, that's the shah. Then of course you're going to say to exclude shachar and shachar. You're likely, as you said, so we have to revisit this in more detail, to also be excluding not only hefker, which is the debate between the Rambamri and the Me'iri and Tosas, but also Yisrael Kaveru, you know, frankly. Because he's also not lakal. And if that's, if you need Bible shachar, you know, then Yisrael Kaveru is, of course, included. If you need something even more personal, your own personal ownership, then, of course, by the Yisrael Kaveru is no different than that, which is the argument of some of the Rishonim and the Farshim in that grand debate about what the status of Yisrael Kaveru really, really is. On the other hand, if we're dealing with, you know, a question of a p'tur, or of a hafka, or the extent to which ownership also affects the status or stature of the chafetza, making a different kind of chafetza, which is not nitan, a certain, you know, property or identity, if that's what we're talking about, then for sure, you know, your default likely to look at each exemption, right, on its own, as a standalone one. As lo harei hekdesh, kaharei nafri, kaharei hefker. Again, in hefker, that gets you into the whole, as I said before, you know, a nishmar idea. As a hafkas hefz, something that's nishmar, not nitan to the chiyun, or not omed to the chiyun, you know, tribus maestros, or shmita, or whatever the case may be. The same thing is true with regard to Akum and with regard to Hekdesh, right? And that's where that Yerushalmi quote about the Rosh Hashanah, you know, with regard to, let's say you have two Rishonim Sfiyim, if it's the absence of the Mechayim, you know, you can always pick it up on Moed Bet. And if it's the, you know, it's a Patur, an act of Patur, so then, you know, Moed Aleph, you know, excludes it, that's the end of it. So each, the idea that you can require separate psukim for that because they work differently, and they maybe even have nafkamina, never mind you need a gilui milsa in each case, let's say, to create that status, is very, very compelling. So, like, you know, again, bailus akum in some cases is just the lack of bailus Yisrael, or the lack of reyehu in some cases. It's an imprimatur on a certain kind of guts. And the same thing is true for Kachem, the same thing is true for Afgar. That divides. But having said that, you then might want to look, you know, within the world of Kachem itself, you know, at two dimensions. And this is what we kind of left off at and didn't get to finish. It's interesting that Rashi here, on Hamad Beis, you know, when the Gemara quotes Shalchah Yataroa Yataroa Shalchah Shalchavoa, excuse me, so Rashi says that when he describes what Gavoa is, Rashi refers to Kache Bedek Habayis, right? He says, Midkasa Kavashma Nivei Shalchah Yataroa Yataroa Bigvulcha shalachem kigon nachri b'shel gavoa and b'kedisham lebedek habayis. So why does he have that? Why does he limit kachim to kedisham lebedek habayis? So there could be a very pragmatic reason, and that is like what's the case really of what would be the case of Hamas, frankly, you know, which is. Not bedek habayis, so which is kachem mizbeach. Like, would there be such a case? Truth is, creative people can think of such a case in terms of the world of menachos. But again, in the world of menachos, right, you can't have chametz anywhere except for korban tova and korban shtei lechem. So it could just be that, you know, the, you know, likelihood of owning, you know, chametz or chametz that's going to be kachem is going to be bedek habayis. However, even if that is the case, the emphasis, you know, may be significant, and especially if you can creatively come up with, you know, other scenarios, maybe for carbon tone or whatever, and mincha. And that is because there is a very fascinating issue regarding the character of kachem bedek habayis, you know, vis-a-vis kachem mizbeach. And that is that typically, you know, the evidence is in the direction that kachem bedek habayis is a more typical, you know, bailus issue, or as Rabbi Chaim is saying, it's, you know, issue mamon hekdesh b'kinyan. The Gemara says in a bunch of places, you know, Mali Mahru Lashamayim, Mali Mahru Lahedja. Explained in a bit of a context. And, you know, typically we look at bedek habayis as the, you know, the Kosha Mishpat arm, let's say, of Kach. Whereas Kach and Beach, they're made be significant. There's some debate about how significant, just like there's some debate about Ikabayas. I'll explain in just a second, quickly though. Some question in Kachem Zeach, there's a significant retention of ownership by the Bailim themselves. And therefore, if we talk about, you know, these two aspects of, you know, kachin, we're really talking about two different you know, perspectives. Maybe Pratyamedika bias is about the bias of Hekdesh, and Kachan Zech is about the Heftza of Hekdesh. And that might be very consequential to the question of, you know, what is the problem of Bali Rock. So let me just explain again the two for just a second. You know, the most telling, I guess, way to make the distinction is to quote, as the Achronim did, the famous Gemara in Baal Kama, or the Baal Kama in Baal Olive, trying to explain why, or whether there is Shinu Rishos, like, you know, Yeosh and Shinu Rishos. You know, in the case of, you know, being makdish, an animal, you know, for karma. So you steal an animal, you makdish it for karma, as opposed to you steal an animal and then you donate it to Hekdesh. So the Gemara says, not one, that it's mikara Torah deruvein, about Kachin Zdeach, you know, mikara Torah deruvein, vahashta Torah deruvein. This is the Gemara Balakam that I am Balakam. And about the other, meaning Kachin Zdeach bias, the Gemara says, mikara Torah deruvein, vahashta Torah deruvein. Or again, Mali Mahru, Lehejo, Mali Mahru, Lishon. So Chaim, in famous piece, in actually in all places, in the Chos Paraduma, he talks about the Ilan Paraduma, whether it's Kachin Zdeach, Kachin Zdeachabayas, a little bit of a complicated topic, but the formulations are around very difficult. So here Reb Chaim kind of develops this idea. And the Chidush HaBracha LaShas in stencils, at the beginning of Veruba, he develops it in a parallel way. There the Gemara talks about, you know, Kefal. There's no Chiyuv Kefal when you steal from Hekdesh. The Gemara seems to have two different psukim. One is Re'eh Rosh from Hekdesh, and the other one is Vekudah Mibes Ha'ish, below me makes Hekdesh. So the Politosis again are troubled. Why do we need two psukim? Why is it one enough? But I give an answer that if you look at Tosis in the beginning of the Rubat of Samach Beis, Tosis discusses that question. However, if you look at Rambam in Perek Beis, Hilchos, Gedei Mahalacha, Aleph, or quotes Salacha, so the Rambam quotes both the Pasuk of Re'ehu and the Pasuk of the Yehuda Beis Leif to only be Sandwich. So the, you know, the Pia Shua, this is written up in the stencils, Kedusha Rafa Lashas. So they, the Lacha Mishra asks the question, he says, Tosis asks the question, Tosis gives their answer, but if you have like Tosis, you should be going to Bob Psukim, like why does Rambam require Bob Psukim? So Chaim's answer was, because if you look carefully in Rambam, right, the Rambam was talking about two different cases. One is Kachin Zdeach. And so the first one is Kachin Medica Bias. That's where it says, Re'evu Veloshna Hakadesh. Speaking to Rambam. The second one is Kachin Zdeach. That's where it says, Beguna Mibes Ha'ish Velomi Beis Hakadesh. And the idea is exactly this idea, which is that Kachin Zdeach Mikara Torah Yudhim Mahashta Torah Yudhim, meaning the Bailin is the Makdish, you know, the Palakarma, he remains the Bailin. The reason that he's able to get Kapara from this Karpon is because the Karpon is Nikra HaShma. So he remains the Bailin. Whereas the Benekabayas, you know, he donated to Kachin. Kachin, you know, through the, I guess, the Gizbar was the representative of Kachin. So he's the, you know, the manager of Kachin, the CEO of Kachin, whatever it is. And, you know, it's Mali Mahru Lashavai and Mali Mahru Lahadjah. So that, those are two different dinim, two different types of Kedusha. The Kedusha of Kachin Medikamayas is through its Hoshin Mishpa, Mamun Hekdesh Mekin. By virtue of Kachin's ownership, the status of Kachin's Zdeach is based on the destiny that the Rambam used to call the nitan of the karba to be, you know, karev al mizbeach. That goal and that kiyum mitzvah, that destiny of kedusha, right, to actually be offered as a korban, is what gives kachin its test. But from a didimonist point of view, it remains in the bylaws of the Makkadish. Now the truth is that Gemara and other evidence that Reb Chaim and others marshal support, you know, this sharp distinction. To be fair about it, and a little more comprehensive, there is other evidence out there. And there are Rishonim who seem to disagree, or at least if they don't disagree, they temper this distinction in both directions. Just to make it clear, for example, in Kachet Ben Gavayas, you know, on the one hand you say, Mali Mahu Shemai Mali Mahu Hedu. At the same time, there is a view Chobesh, if you're Poder, if the person who, you know, donates the Hedish decides to be Poder, you know, he has to pay Chobesh. You know, somebody else doesn't. Which implies that even after you seemingly have severed your bilious ties, right, either your old ownership, if that's the shot, or you continue to be associated or identified somewhat. In other words, it isn't an absolute break, or maybe it's not an absolute break, or if it is, then you have to understand that halacha, or that the status of previous owner, let's say, is not a not in conflict, you know, with the absolute, you know, new ownership of kach. Similarly, there are so that's like a, you know, a reason to pause, you know, something to be thinking about. And for some Rishonim, that highlights that, you know, it isn't an absolute, you know, mechira, gemura, change of ownership, but that there is shame by love, you know, similarly in the other direction. When it comes to kachin, we know that there are certain limitations, and some of those limitations certainly seem to express themselves in Bibles too. There are certain things that once you're makdish a korban, even before it's akraba, that you are, you know, limited from executing your doing. And those seem to challenge, you know, the notion that only, you know, the hakrava, you know, gives kachin bech. Because that seems like you've lost some bias, some control. So the question is how to, again, explain that. So again, if you're a strict constructionist of a kind, I would say, well, there are certain dinim that have to do with interfering with the goal of kachin. And implicitly, I don't mean implicitly voluntarily, but, you know, just the status of chatzashal kachin per se, you know, precludes doing things that undercut, you know, that status. So it looks like, let's say, bias limitations are in fact a function of that nitan of akra, even though it isn't so obvious. That's what you kind of, you know, reconstructively, you know, forced to conclude. Other Rishonim, again, Rishonim in Bava Kamma and elsewhere, Kamma in Amizaki and Gittin, where these issues come up, a bunch of places, think that there is, you know, some or significant loss of bias, and that, you know, the statement Mikarta Guru and Ashita Guru then is misleading. So I would say that there are, you know, roughly speaking, three shivas. Okay? In other words, there is the view of Reb Chaim, which has very strong links in the Gemara's and Rishonim also, and that is that there is a strong dichotomy that differentiates kachin bech and kachin bech kavayis. And then there are, you know, views based on certain other evidence, and definitely echoed in the language of Rishonim, and especially one Gemara, Tosfos Reed, and some of the Rishonim's Shulchan Aruch says, in which the gap between Panchabedakamayas and Panchabedbeyach is narrow in either direction. You know, some will argue that Midikachabedakamayas and Mishnah with Panchabedakamayas, it would build up the pigeon part to show that you retain some ownership, even the Medikamayas. And then the others who go the other way and say, you know, Midikachabedakamayas and Mishnah with Beyach, that even though you know, the kapara, you're still vital in God, the kapara sakarba, you know, and things that have to do with the haparava. But with regard to the inimominous, the limitations on your ability to do things with this kapta, you know, reflect not just the cause, that's the difference between two perspectives, you know, a loss of ownership, maybe a complete loss of ownership. So you have three sheets. But anyways, getting back to it. What I wanted to say here was that if Rashi doesn't make this comment for pragmatic reasons, then what would be the case of comments, which is, you know, Kedusha Sagut? You know, I'm not so sure you can't find it. And even if you can't find it, you know, okay, but what's the point of making the comment? So maybe this goes to exactly what we've been discussing. And that is, you know, getting a step in. You know, we're talking about all sorts of areas, right? Bechor, and Chala, and Chumas Maestros, and Onaba, and Balyua, right? And quite a few more, right, where we're away. What about the status of Bailos Nahri? What about the status of Hefker? And what about the status, what we're momentarily interested in, of Kachin? So what we're trying to show is, you know, if the, what do we mean by that? Like, what's the problem? Is it a problem in Rehu? Is it a problem in Bailos? Bailos of Kachin? Right? Or is it a problem in Chefetz of Kachin, right? The object itself, a different kind of an object. So here you certainly might be parallel between Berakabayas and Kachin Zeyak. For the same reason that maybe the Rama required two different psukim, Kepi Kepel, right? Because Kachin Zeyak, as the Chayim is arguing, in Parabes Halacha, you know, would be Chayim Kepel if it was only because of Rei. The problem is that it's also the Gunami base of each, the Gunami base, you know, Hekdesh. So too, right, whenever we're talking about the Ptur Kachin, you know, if we're talking about the absence of personal Bailos, right, or the status of Bailos Kachin, so then Kachin Benikabayas is a far greater candidate, you know, for the exclusion. If we're talking about Kedusha Sahavta, right, and that status, then Kachin Benikabayas is more. So is this Rashi's way of saying that the problem of Hekdesh, you know, is the same as the problem of Akum? Because neither of them are about, you know, Bailos HaMafkia necessarily, or the Hekdesh, right? They're about, I'm not saying that Bayro doesn't apply to the chepzas of Bailos Akum and Bailos Hekdesh, if there is such a difference between them. There is such a difference between them. What we're really saying, if what we're really saying, is that you need lacha, you need personal ownership here, and the absence of it, again, like Zohar Rishon, as we said, they even destroy Chaveiro, is not lacha. So, if that's all we're saying, then of course we can focus on Kachin Benikabayas, not on Kachin Zeyah, because Kachin Zeyah, maybe you do remain the owner. So, unless you think the level of impediment in doing exactly anything that you want with the Chepetz is something that still eats into the Bailos in a way that affects Bailos. But that's already not obvious at all. So, this is a suggestion about you know, the relationship between Kachapanika and Kachapanika is there. In general, in these areas where there's a distinction or exclusion, and even more particularly with regard to Bhagavan.
Can you also say that there's a split in Kachin? In other words, between Kachin Kalam and Kachin Kachin?
Yes.
In other words, I think the Grizz has a piece like that also. And it sort of comes out the opposite way. Like, right. You know, is it considered like fully yours or not?
Yeah, I think we even mentioned that, Mishra Kachin Kalam more recently, when we were talking about, the different schema and all of that, why there would be an issue for, Benoach, to eat, Korban Pesach, right? So we're talking about, whether there's a bit of Bailus, Yisrael, and Gezela. So the Bichaskina wanted to be Tola, that in the Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosis regarding Kutchin, Kalin, Mamon, Bible. So yeah, Ravelbo has a famous piece I believe it's still called Niske Mamon, in the seaboard, where he talks about this question. Yeah, 100%. So I was distinguishing between Vedic Alliance and Kutchin's Bayer, because that's what Rashi mentions. And that's, I think, the first one that's like, the biggest distinction. True. Another distinction is how we understand Kachin and Kalin, itself. Mamon Bailin, or Gosevili, and what that exactly means. Is it kind of like, Shulchan Kavah? Velma's point is that they're, again, there's this Bailin Lagabe, the Kapara, maybe, but who's the Bailin Lagabe Dini Moritz? That's his discussion. So that's for sure an important issue. There, again, I think it's more creatively difficult to find comments in Scotch Kala, but okay. Something to think about.
The Rosh Yosef actually wonders about Lach Metoda, and he says maybe that would be...
Lach Metoda's Kabbalah.
And he said
to before. And again, the Gemara does say, the Mishnah has, the discussion on whether you can use Lach Metoda for matzah, and that, of course, is the issue also of Lishma, Mishnah of Abed and Allah, the Gemara and Daf, Mem. So, okay, Rosh Yosef, where? Here? He discusses this Rashi?
Yeah, he says on Rashi that he thinks Rashi would be inclusive even of, he wonders about Lach Metoda. He wonders whether you're even allowed to have Lach Metoda, whether there ever will even be a case of Lach Metoda on Dal. But
what I was saying before, could you ever have a tinti? And I said maybe Toda, he's saying that. Okay,
yeah,
great. We'll put that on the official record. I figure somebody must talk about it. Is it his view that that's why Rashi makes the distinction, or on the contrary, that it's a fundamental distinction because you have both Ekatimsis, but he needs to distinguish? What's his view on that?
Yeah, I think he doesn't think Rashi is being Dafka.
Oh, he means Rashi. He'll say, no, it'll be Kachar Vech in that case too. It's just pragmatic. Because in very few cases, you can only think of this one. Whereas I'm suggesting the opposite. I'm saying, even if you couldn't come up with a single case, maybe Rashi's interested to emphasize Kachin Ben Gabayas here, because he's making the point that the Kachin problem isn't in Chetza, it's a problem in the Bibles. Okay, so that should be contrasted, I guess, with that rejoice. But the title is 100% correct. Kachin, Kalin, in theory, that's in this bigger picture of Bailus and who's Bailus and how much we should go on Kazan and so on and so forth. Kachin Kalin and Machon Surah Sayyid Kakalin is part of it. The whole Ksos, of course, relates to that issue. And the Rashi Ksos, and the Grizz. But also, I should add, if you already want to make distinctions, Kedusha is nothing. It's also a fast. In other words, there's Kedusha Sagov. There's Vedic Abayas, and there's something called Kedushas Davi, the Kachin, which is kind of in between As it happens, Ravello deals with that very extensively too, mostly with the letters in the back of the Sefer. It has a big piece on Kedusha's Dhamma. But of course, that's again very tricky because that comes somewhere. Is it like Kedusha's Haguf Inyan, Dhamma, or something like that? What exactly does that mean? So there are a number of distinctions, but the most basic one is certainly the Kedusha's Bezbeah. Yeah.
The Tosas Rush says that Kedusha's Bekabais isn't sufficient, and that you would need it to also be Bal Yada Gizbar.
Say that again.
Tosas Rush thinks that Hakdasha Bekabais wouldn't be sufficient, and that you would also need for it to be Nifka Biyada Gizbar. So that
if you were Makish something to Bekabais, but you have yet to give it to the Gizbar, that wouldn't be a Ptur?
Yeah, because you could be Shtoa.
Okay, that might be more of a technical point. I hear that. I guess it depends on how you understand the ability, to be Shtoa. Right? That's what Tosafot says here?
Yeah.
Ooh. You have a line?
Yeah, he says, Kigon Shehek Yish Pamit Lebedeka Bias. Kfar bo liyada gizbar ito biyada. Deem lokein kevent ee boi mishpil ale yidi dey dami. Darmin le kam and gadi chala.
So I think, I remember that, but okay, that's also something to think about. I just think that the significance of it is open to question. Meaning, you could understand the Tosa Rosh in a very simple and technical way, meaning that there really is a chashash of Shoah, and until you eliminate that, you just don't really have a transfer to Hekesh. We have to see if that's his general view. In which case, it's more of a technicality. Or, if we think that the chashash of being Shoah is always something that is artificial, as a chashash, meaning it's always, like default, you do something, you've done it. The ability to be Shoah is the capacity to revise history. And the only reason we really would ever care about that is if, we need not only the effect of the process, let's say in this case, giving it to Hekdesh, but even that is kind of very iffy, and therefore we have to guarantee not only that it happens, but that it happens irrevocably. That's that it reflects some sort of a, you would still the Baila, even the Benekapayas, maybe, like I was saying before, the Haraya would pay the Chomesh, and therefore, as long as you can be Shoel, you really haven't done, much. Not objectively, but with Agave, this needs to be like Hekdesh, exclusively. It can't be, any potential, tziruf, to you. So then I think the Tosa Rosh, I'm just not sure which the Tosa Rosh means, then I think the Tosa Rosh would be very consequential here in terms of either Kachabedika Bias or Baliroi in terms of, being Machir and Baliroi. So that's a great piece anyway, but I'm just not sure. In general, this question of, you might be Shoel, therefore, the revision is the history of India. We find just a massive Machlokas Rishonim and Achronim. What does that ever, until you do it, until you revise history, the potential to revise history, is significant or not? The answer to me, it's significant only when you need something that is irrevocable because, again, it's kind of teetering on being effective or ineffective in its own way. So again, thank you both for the Rosh Yosef and for the Tosa Rosh. Okay. Good. Let's move back to Nachri for a minute. So the distinction between Nachri Kipshasa and Nachri Shavu Kipshasa, or the way that the Rambam formulates it, Yom Kippur Tosha, which is interesting, right? A fair interpretation. not both Radha. Also depends on how you understand both Gersha, Nakusha Kshasa and Gertosha. I don't want to get into that at the moment, but I think it's a Rambam problem with Shitasa, that he just interprets it that way. But either way, the need for two psukim, again, is something which caught the eye of the Rishonim, Bali Tosas, and again, their assessment, right, was pretty much, you know, to see what happens in this sugya, you know, as being universally consistent. Meaning you need two psukim here, and that's the mapa for everywhere else. Everywhere you don't need, where you don't need two psukim, it's because of the Gilui Nosa of everybody owes a debt, you know, to the Samajus. All these places owe debt, you know, to Bali Rabbi Yamatsa. Okay? You know, when you say things like that, obviously you're equating them, at least vis-a-vis this issue. You know, it leaves a very interesting question, especially, you know, when you encounter this phenomenon, you know, more than once, it's very fascinating because, well, it raises another question, which might be, you know, impenetrable, but at least it's something to think about. That is, like, how come, let's say, according to these Bali Tosas, when it comes to Nafri Shikishasa and Shalokishasa, or the Gili Milsa for Kala Torah Kula is in Bayrabai Mati. Okay? And when it comes to the equation or the identity of a Bailos Akum and Bailos Kachim, let's say, according to the same kind of perspective, right, that comes from, where does it come from? From some Isra, Sakala, or something like that. And, you know, Bali Rabbi Matzah is a beneficiary of that givenness. Like, when did the Torah, why did the Torah decide to reveal these identities, right, which phenomenologically are parallel to each other? You know, this one here and that one there, and the third one, you know, somewhere else. I don't know the answer to the question in this. That I think is an interesting question. Again, the Bali Tosas in particular are comfortable with this kind of thing, and this is a general statement. But again, one I've made in the past, so I might as well just throw it out and reinforce it. You know, my general view is that Bali Tosas, you know, broadly, with many exceptions, perceive the drushos issue, you know, as one which is, you know, I would say inconsequential is way too strong, less consequential, and maybe, you know, unfathomable, you know, but kind of less of an issue. In other words, you know, why this is the first makra, that's a drasha, why this drasha, not that drasha, why, you know, this conclusion comes from this halakha, that conclusion comes from that halakha. In the end of the day, it's Gili Milsa, Torah's, for its own reasons, obviously it's not arbitrary, but, you know, divine wisdom, you know, impels divine will, you know, to formulate it this way. And our job is to reconstruct the facts and to know them, you know, maybe to proceed conceptually from there. But, like, this part of it isn't necessarily, typically, the default part of that process, whereas I, you know, firmly that for, you know, the Rambam, you know, that's never the case. You know, what the drasha is, whether it's a drasha or Mefurish Bakra, which drasha, where the drasha comes from, like, all that is, you know, fair, you know, game, or fair source, you know, for conceptual analysis. That doesn't mean the Rambam always comes up with something. But I think, you know, again, default, you know, we're supposed to be impressed with that, we're supposed to work on that. Okay, so anyways, here it's just interesting that this is Tosas view. However, again, the alternative in the same parallel way as what we just said about, you know, Nakri and Kachin is to think, you know, that maybe the role of these two are different. And therefore, you know, Daf gave me the Gilui Milsa here. And so on. So I mentioned the Imam. Eitan Bissar? Bala Amor is a terrific Qurani. And we'll pursue the Bala Amor's formulation more when we sum up and finish the Sabbath before Sunday and Monday, some other things as well.
Okay, I do want to speak about Riyah at least quickly for a few minutes.
What does Valamar say? Is that there? Yeah. Oh, Dr. Rashio say that. It really is on the official record. Can we get the Tosa Rush up there too?
I don't think we have
a picture. We don't have Tosa Rush in Bar Ilan? Really?
I think it's a newer manuscript, so.
Really? I mean, Tavi's on the, like, you know, the scientific manuscript edge. Wow. Is that really true, Tati? You have a physical one?
Yeah, it's Machon Ofek put it out recently.
Oh,
not too long ago.
Not that, that too. I thought you just flashed it. You guys have a clue. Wasn't just me. Okay. Tati, good work. Okay, I don't know if he feels guilty that I know. Right? Nor should I say I don't feel guilty. Even though it's great to know, but, you know, that's also Rashi actually should know. So, okay. So it's on the record even though it's not on the screen. Avram, that's okay?
Maybe Asher has it, brother.
You have an Asher?
Plus.
Okay. I've been there, I know that syndrome. But sometimes they don't even give it, they just take it. Anyways, but okay. This is the advantages of the Shiva Shalom. Can hide out. Okay, so anyway, the Balamar? Hey, Tom? Yeah. You want to read out of there? Just a key line. What is it, or what does he say? And then you can read the line. He says what? He says, here you need a pasuk for both. Very, very special, very interesting comment. Why? Again, because you would have thought, since we are, since there was some suggestion that Kabbalah Sacharias wouldn't work, in other words, that there would be a Ptur Akum even when you took the, you know, Chamed Shal Akum and you would have Kabbalah Sacharias. So therefore, yeah. And it's only because of Lo Yimatze, right, that we overcome that, you know, view.
He thinks that the Shalsel would be the same thing for Akhraya.
The what?
He thinks that the Hallelujah would be the Shalsel with Akhraya.
Exactly. With the Kishalsel should be, even with, I'm sorry, how's it going? That Kishalsel without Akhrayas, you know what it goes? Here, you have the line here. Go ahead, read it. Okay, it's Rav Makar Degali Rakhmana, Yisura B'Pikdonos, Minanachar B'Kibol of Akhrayas. So, if you like the Chamina, go ahead. Yeah, that's Kivshaso B'Li Akhrayas would not be any worse than
regular Nakri with Akhrayas.
And therefore this Kamash Malan, right, that they're equal. So what do you think about that Havamina? Obvious, sensational, something in between? What do you think about it? Obviously very different than the answer to the Balanthosis. Number one, what's different about it? Just the general sense. This is the Chabad seat, right? This is not something that is... But bringing in Kabbalah Sacharias, like what does Kivshasa and Kivshasa have to do with Kabbalah Sacharias? What does it show you about... Let me say it this way. What's the Gemara's perspective on Kabbalah Sacharias? Hey, Tom. Look, let's read the Gemara very quickly. on the bottom here, like Amar Mar, go ahead, just quickly, on the bottom of the page, Amar Mar, Yoko Yatman. Yoko Yatman, we'll get that in a second, and Yikabu Pekdonis Min Rapa. Says the Gemara, Amras, right? Reisha, shall call you at the Roa, while the Roa shall come, shall go Roa. And where's the Lokash, on the Kibbul of Akrais, on the Kibbul of Akrais. An example of that is, interestingly, Kihad Amar Rabba, the B'nai Bekuza, but you were Chamir, the B'nai Chel, the Mitzaychu, right? Kibdu the Migna, we will meet the Bishisaychu Kai, who be Isa the Shlume, Kibdil Chun, Dami, the Asa. Okay, so here the Gemara is discussing this question of Kamal Sachat. So first of all, important, we'll go back to this, and I finish with this stuff, I just want to make the point for here, is the debate between the Rambam and the Rambam. What's the error? What's the debate between the Rambam and the Rambam?
The Rambam thinks that it's the Rambam is an onus and also high, and the Rambam is only going to follow this, right?
Yeah, the Rambam takes this Gemara literally. You're talking about like an army. Right? And the army doesn't ask questions. Right? So they impose their will on the people. And nonetheless, if there is the Maisa, the Boa, if I'm going to pay for it, then you know, then that's enough for Bai Rabbi Yimotzeh. Wow. And the Rambam says, not at all. You have no language. Go right ahead. Yeah, to read the Rambam quickly. And the right of it. So what's the upshot? The Rambam thinks that if you pay for his value, right? And the Rambam thinks you have to be a Kabbalah of Christ. Whose cheetah is more mechudash? Clearly the Rambam, right? Because he didn't... somebody can break my bank account, therefore I have to pay Mahirah. I'm not interested in the kinds of Shalmachar here. Right? As opposed to the Rambam, it's a regular Kabbalah of Christ. This already kind of says we'll discuss more, but, you know, like what's this about? So let's continue just to highlight it a little bit further, and maybe where it partially comes from. Eitan, go ahead, keep going. Andy Khan or something like that. By the way, you sound a little like we always have the same voice. Although I wouldn't want you to have my voice right now. So. But yeah, go ahead, keep reading. What's that? Even, in other words, if Dover Gar the moment is command, if you hold Dover. Right? Still, which means that, you know, you would think that this is an insufficient level of connection, right? It's not kimono, so it should fall short from my own yimatze. Kamash milan lo yimatze. So lo yimatze is a chumra yisera, right? It's an expansion of bayirah beyond what you would have expected. In a way, like the rabbi. I'm not saying they're identical. You could say all like a rabbi and say, you know, you need, number one, you know, Kabbalah, Sakharis. You know, and even then, you need Lahimatsa. Right? Whereas for the Rambam, it's, you know, even without Kabbalah Zacharias, that doesn't imply any relationship, legal relationship, or not a legal relationship, let's say of ownership, anyway, right? Or insufficiently so. And says Lahimatsa. What's the other day in the Gemara? Higadamri? Meaning it could be over a garden of the Mahon, but that doesn't mean that it's Vershusek. So this is volume one, not as a chopra, but as a kul, correct? In a way. Okay. And maybe something will leave for a second. Now, so the point I want to make, now getting back to the Balabar, so let me say this. What we see in the discussion of the Gemara, the link to Dara Gara in 2 days, you know, and whether kind of lo yimatze, how mechudash is lo yimatze? Either way, lo yimatze, according to the Gemara, both days, lo yimatze is expanding beyond the norm. Right? It's either telling us, the first view, of course, is more mechudash. It's telling us that, you know, Dara Gara mechudash kemamu dami, the Alpha became lo yimatze betzuchah. Okay? The second day, as we say, somehow you need lo yimatze because Dabra Gori would be inadequate. And there it's hard to know. There you can have two perspectives. One is its very inadequacy shows a higher threshold for Balyuma. Right? And lo yimatze is telling you, despite that, you've met it. Or you could say, you know, that's natural, and lo yimatze again is expanding. Okay? Either way, it's very easy to read the Shabbat and Tanya the Gemara. We'll talk a little more about Dabra Gara and the Bible in general, but it's easy to see that the Gemara, that there's a question, again, like we see for Rabbi Yishmael, like we see, you know, in Yachal Yatmin, and like we see for the question of what about Gavulin, right? There seems to be a huge tension in the Gemara, you know, whether or not, you know, there are three possibilities, you could say. In other words, Bayuwa Bayimatsa just depends on, you know, the expected or typical standards, right? Or, you know, we're tremendously machmir about it, even if it doesn't qualify to be mitzuref to you, identified with you, your responsibility. Typically, right here, lo yimatze, or lo yimayev lo yimatze, expands that. In other words, it might be that there's no objective bailus, or maybe not even objective reshus, but lo yimatze, you know, tells you that chametz is so toxic that you can't have any relationship with it, even one which objectively falls outside of, right, the norms, let's say, the typical norms of bialis and reshus. That's what lo yimatze is telling. Or is it the opposite? Lo yimatze is telling you that, you know, in a kanami you have the means for, you know, typical bialis, but you need more to violate lo yimatze. So again, three possibilities when you read the Gemara. One is lo yimatze lo yimatze is just being plugged in, basically. The other is, and then what is it being plugged into? Bible service sure, it's also a question. The second is it's lakubra. The other is it's more, let's say, lakula. Now the lakubra lakula part we're so familiar with already, right? from the different perspectives on Rabbi Shimon, from what we talked about Tuesday, you know, the fact that, you know, typically Surah don't have Balei Yohanan, you know, so there's an Eilech HaBalei Chidusho aspect, and there's also a, you know, this is so Chomor, you know, it's supposed to be consistent, and it's Chomor. Okay, so these are just the reading the Gemara, we'll see how the Rishonim do it, but, and then you have the Rambam and the Rambam, which is also part of this story. Again, the Rambam basically saying, you know, Lo Yivatzeh, this is something unusual. It's easy to violate Balei Yohanan, even under these conditions. Maybe that's the shitasa of some of the other things that we've been saying, you know, about what he thinks Tashbisu is and what he thinks, you know, Balei Yohanan, Lo Yivatzeh, is very easy to violate for the realm, as we know. Maybe even to be local. A double violation, all the things we've talked about. Early violation, double violation, etc. So the Rambam says, if you're going to pay for it, that's Balei Yohanan too, that's also what he wants. And the Rambam is saying, you know, whichever side of the Gemara, you know, but don't push it so far. If there's no legal relationship, it's just a pragmatic. Meaning, are they arguing, you know, what to what extent a pragmatic relationship creates a legal relationship? That then it should apply, you know, to parallel issues elsewhere. Right? Like, you know, Chiyuv Keifa. And, you know, things like Ona'a. You know, and so on. You know, Kachip Shechayim Machriyusim. Things of that sort. If here, the standards are different, so I would say, you know, again, in the Kabbalah Chidusho, it's not going to push it, or it's pushing it too far. Why am I telling you all this stuff now? If the idea of Kabbalah Sacharias was a simple matter of the Koveya, an expanded Hagdara of Bailos, right? Then what the Baal HaMor says makes no sense. What is it then? The Chiddush of Kabbalah Sacharias is either that Kabbalah Sacharias, you know, in Kol Torah Kula or here, you know, is meets the objective standards of Bailos, right? Or maybe a junior Bailos, right? Not the only Bailos, it's a Mafkid, but a Shomer has certain, or a Breshus, maybe that's what's called Bailos. And that's, you know, we weren't sure what we need for Bailos. And Kamash Malam, that this is good enough. What does that have to do you know, Nachri Shekivshasa, Nachri Shalokivshasa? Why would that mean that Nachri, you know, Shekivshasa doesn't mean Kabbalah Sacharias? The Kabbalah Sacharias is Shelcha, or Vatecha, or Gvulcha. Right? But if we say, whether it's based on the Gemara's discussion of Dover and Gori, or the Rambam's discussion, or other parallel discussions, we have to know in a second, that the din of Kabbalah Sacharias is Chiddush, right? So maybe it's not just a standalone Chiddush above the threshold. Let me say this. If it's not such a Chiddush, it's more of a Gilui Milsa, then what the Baal HaMor says as a Havamina makes no sense. Even if it's a Chiddush, but it's a Chiddush about, you know, what the objective standard for Balei Rabbi Yimotzeh is, it still makes no sense. Right? Because of the Teres of Kassav, that Achrayus works in Nachri, therefore Nachri Shalom, Nachri Shekivshasa doesn't require that. But where's the relationship to the comments? The only way it makes sense, or is there a way it makes sense? Eitan? It's the same one. Balei Rabbi Matzah is using the violate, and what it's really about is any relationship that you have, any thing that is short of Eino Rotzeh V'Kiyumo, right? Anything that's short of an emphatic, discernible, disowning or negation of a renunciation of the chametz, Anything that the Tsar did to you, as I'm really saying is, yeah, Kabbalah Sacharias is the threshold, but not because it's the threshold, or the threshold is what's Kaveya, because you need this in order to compensate for the fact that it's Shalachar. But if it's not Rishakim Shalso, we are already more connected with, and therefore it's more considered, oh, you're tolerating, you know, you could do something about it, and you're tolerating the presence of comments like in the Rishus, you know, that toleration, let's say, or that objective Siruv, right, just takes the place of the Kabbalah Sacharias. Yeah, did you want to ask? As what? Yeah, so, and what does that really mean, though?
Well,
I mean, mamonukim mamonukim is what? Because you could take it.
Well, wouldn't that, at the very least, be equated to whatever Bibles would be from Kabbalah Sacharias?
I mean, do you think so? Maybe, you know what? I think it's a great point. I was going to bring it up. What does it remind you of a little bit? I would say, you know, it's like a flip side parallel of the Rambam, in a way. That you could take this guy's money because you control his destiny. Right? That means in Kolotar, again, this is the point. Right? In other areas of Halakha, therefore what? Nachrisha Kivshasa, you own his money? You could be Makdashit? No. It's Bershuska, Adkadekak. It's Mamonka. I mean, you could use it, could be Makadish and Isha by saying, I hear why I'm going to give you Nakrisha Kivshasa's ring.
Well, before you could do that,
you can mock me on something like that? I'm saying Choshe Mishpat, can you do anything with that?
Well, wouldn't it be the same as Kabbalah Sacharias?
No, so what I'm saying, that's what I'm saying, it's maybe it's more comparable in a way to the Rambam. Meaning, the Rambam has a case where there's no Kabbalah Sacharias, but there's a prize. The Rambam's saying, if the government forces you to pay, right, then even though you didn't formally, you know, commit to anything, and legally, in Kol Tara Kula, it doesn't make you either the Bailim or the Rishus Lagabe anything, all the other demon. But somehow, Lagabe comments, Lo Yimatse, you know, having the befoal responsibility for this object also connects it up to you. So it's an informal, because we're mostly suggesting that this is an informal bond. It doesn't work, the haraya doesn't work elsewhere, right? But it works here. Like, why? The rabbit says, why? Okay, similarly, Rashi seems to be saying, and you're 100% right, Rashi adava mamona ki mamona. But that doesn't, you know, work seemingly anywhere else. I mean, it doesn't work here either, the less common, that's fine, as a habibi. Right? So what is it? It's, you know, if you have to pay for it, says the Rambam, that's enough. And Rashi's saying, if you can if you can confiscate it, you know, if you can, you know, take it from it with impunity, you know, then it's in your rishus. That's not a legal, you know, category of shalom or pshuso anywhere else, right? So it's a good point. That's why I'm comparing it to the Rambam. And in a way, the Baal Amor is kind of saying that as well. The Baal Amor is saying it's not the Kabbalah Sacharias per se, either as a general thing in a Gili Milsa, or even as a special threshold per se in comments. It's this like sliding scale. That's a Kiddush in the Baal Amor. So, Nachrisha Kivshasa, again, if you really needed Kabbalah Sacharias as you know, a din in Gvulha or Pesach or Shochal, then you can't do it on it just because it's not Rishon Kishasa. But the point is that, you know, if you control his life, so you have some connection to his comments. Again, Rashi's emphasizing potential confiscation. You don't need to say that. Again, Rambam's emphasizing he's a Ger Tosha. That's a very different emphasis. That's what we're alluding to before. Right? But what? The Ger Tosha is somebody whose life you're responsible for. An Indian of Tzedakah for Ger Tosha. Quite a few things. There's some identity and identification with the Ger Tosha, says the Rambam. Right? So I think that's what the Balamor, and that's the finish of the Balamor. It's a sliding scale. You know, you need a certain distance, disassociation, or maybe a maximization of disassociation. At least that's the outcome. You don't have that when you're a Kabbalah Friday, even if Dabra Gorin the Mamon is not Kamomo. Right? But it's still like let's say. And you don't have that, you know, if it's Gerish or Kishon, so you went up on surprise. Which makes you wonder, you know, whether the same thing might not be true, like this kind of sliding scale, in other issues. Getting back to the Keset Mishnah and the question of, you know, how much actual involvement do you need with the Chametz and on what level? What about Ru'iyah, potential Ru'iyah, those kind of things? As opposed to, like how, you know, far-flung, in your far-flung empire, you know, which properties are, you know, automatically, you know, just mitzurah to you, and therefore the presence of chametz there. So, maybe two different ideas, but also maybe two different ideas that have this sliding, compensatory, you know, kind of relationship. In which case, it isn't only the question, like, which is more expensive? Will you run that or will you not say? Say, will you not say? It's more a question of, you know, two mechayim. But two mechayim which are still one, because there are going to be nafkaminas in both directions. Which leads us back to that part. But before I do that, I'm going to stop in one more minute. There's a question? Yeah. You have the question?
I have the question.
So, let me take the question. I thought you made like a whole new resolution that you're going to help me save my voice.
Yeah, I thought I could ask the question.
Oh, no, you can ask the question. I'm, so far gone. So, who has the question? Oh, Josh.
They're not exactly the same in front of the state because the Moskana are also metallic.
Right.
The only smart and metallic is to say that they're not exactly the same.
What do you mean Moskana and Metallic? Between Lay Mutz and Lay Rah?
Yeah, it's not Mutta, and those people are also private, it's also.
Oh, yeah, of course. Right. Meaning the very fact that Josh is saying, you know, let's not lose our perspective here. We're focusing on a very fascinating Balamor, right? Saying that you need to psukim here because this is a havamina that is unique to chametz, unlike the Bali Tosis perspective, and it's unique because you know you might have thought that there's this compensatory, you know, whatever, but at the end of the day, the maskana is that it's not. Which by the way, leaves open. I was going to get back to this to the Balamor. We don't know the maskana of chametz. Say what the Maskana is, Kabbalah Zachariah's formal is different than, you know, Kabbalah Zachariah's pragmatic. You can still say that. Right, but I think at the end of the day, what is an interesting thing about the question of Balamor is, like, what's the Maskana? Right. So you could say the Maskana is, you've got the whole Lo Yimatzeh Kabbalah Zachariah's thing completely wrong. You thought it's objectively inadequate, or it's not the threshold. You know, it's just a way of putting you over the top. It's a shiur and siruv, and therefore, you know, you can do this whole kind of, you know, balance in the equating act. And kamash malam, you know, when we exclude Dr. Shekim Shaso, it's because that's not the pshat in the way, let's say, Kamal Sakrayas. Really, Kamal Sakrayas is a shiur in bailos, or in rishos, or something, you know, more, or some threshold for bayira, you know, that is, you know, hard facts for. So it's more the habit of the words, right. And at the end of the day, which Josh is saying also, that had they been equal achrayas, like one de facto achrayas from Kabbalah's achrayas, then why are you halved? So I think it's a good point. So both points I think are true.
And also,
then,
how come if this is all true that we're trying to say that there should be Kiluvian, then how come for not to be affected if using one puzzle as an
illusion? Say that again? Right.
So why there only Q1 if you have a difference between
active and not really? For Tosis, probably there's not.
I think that this is like
right. Yeah. So, but again, I think I mentioned the other day, for example, what will be the maskana about not free and hektish? Let's say Kamal Sakrayas. I think I mentioned the Rashash, right? Rashash and Mohammed Alam says, the Kabbal Safra is going to work for Nahu, it's not going to work for Kach. So again, that kind of brings us back a little bit to the Halamina of the Malamar. Meaning, if Kabbal Safra is Koveya, I mean, there are two things you could say for the Rashash. If Kabbal Safra is Koveya on the threshold for Lechal, for Bailos, or for Rishas, or for something less than that, but something that is objectively sufficient, you know, for, you know, at least what you might say, if not both, in chametz. So then why is kachan any different? Right? Unless you say that the nature of the p'tur in akum and in hektesh are different. It's hard to say that they come from one pasuk. If you hold like that mechilta, that they come from two pesukim or from two different words, that's possible to suggest that. But even if they come from one pasuk, if you continue to cling to the Balamar's idea fundamentally, which is that Kabbal Sakrayas isn't even the threshold. Kabbal Sakrayas is a way of creating sufficient siruv right under certain conditions. So then maybe, you know, just like there was a Havamina of being mechalik between Nachri and Nachri Shekim Shasa, maybe even the Maskata, maybe Nachri is better than Hektesh in terms of connecting a Nachri with Kamal Zacharias is the Tzuruk to you. And Hektesh with Kamal Zacharias, because it's also status of, you know, Mechavtesh Abedaka Bias, and it's a, you know, it's a fellow Jewish or a rival Jewish, you know, ownership, rather than you know, again, Gezelach, we respect non-Jewish ownership, but it's not kind of in the parsha, so it's not comparable. So in a way, the Balamor is Havamina, you know, the Kabbalah Zacharias will work in A and not in B, is that issue. Yeah, Moshe. Say again?
I thought the Rosh Hashanah was more of a closer mitzvah point that Alei Kedusha, they go to the Rachmanim stuff, therefore it's Bailos and Mishum.
I mean, Alei Kedusha, Bishus of the Mara Isa, and therefore, I mean, well, that kind of works with what I said too, in structure, for that reason. Meaning, Kachin is a Bailos and a Rishus problem, right? And therefore, Kabbalah Sakrayas is not going to. So it's a bigger hafka, But you're right, it's not just the bigger Avka, it's even more specific. The Avka expresses itself also in terms of Rishus, and therefore that's not amenable to the Kabbalah Sakharias.
Right.
Whereas Zohri is a Lachet problem, you know, but you could still bring it into your Rishus through Kabbalah Sakharias. That's a sound mechanism. So you said that, yeah, here it is. For the Rashash, it's more of an objective, a consequence of like the nature of the mechanics or mechanisms of Bible structure and Bible soccer. Right. Whereas one could have said the same idea in the way that I'm saying it for the Malamor, you know, more in terms of like what constitutes sufficient seaweed, you know, for Bible words. Okay, I hear that. Josh, did you have a question?
Yeah, just since we were, and not a question, because I don't want
to. Go ahead.
Just since we were, like, showing the parallels of the Rambam and the Baal Or, like, I wonder if the Rambam partially, like, maintains that Havamina when he has the Gatini, like, Ger Tosha, and then when he has a more...
Well, we mentioned the Ger Tosha part. Again, from the Rambam, Ger Tosha is... You know, again, like more of an association, he's part of your community.
No, but
you have responsibilities to him. He lives among you, therefore what he has in his own home is maturif to you. I think that's what he's saying. As opposed to de facto, you can take it, so the Grashi, which is more, yeah. So what
no,
he
but I'm saying the fact that he said, like, once the Gemara has two immediate.
Yeah.
The Rambam, like, didn't, like, just give out people already tells you, like, the Ger Tosha is still... Like a more,
I mean, you're saying the Rambam by quote, but I think this is true for the Rambam in general. Is the point I was trying to make a couple of days ago.
No, I agree.
And as in Perek Dalet, you could have said, well, the end of the Gemara, it's all the same. And definitely the majority of Rishonim, notwithstanding Rabbi Yochanan Fischer Perlo, who we'll get to, I guess, on Sunday, but I think majority of Rishonim at the end of the Sivya think that, you know, Kamashmalot, and everything is the same. And if the Rambam felt that way, even conceptually, that's the point I was trying to make. And he didn't need to write over all these Gemaras. He doesn't typically do that. But since he does write them out, and I think it works in, with his view that conceptually there's different shekels to explain why this isn't Shalish Tess. So one of those things is also what he definitely is focusing on Talmud, and he's focusing on Hifkir. And one of the things that he's also focusing on is Nachri Shekiv Shalsa, Nachri Shalok
Shalsa. Right, so even more than that, unlike the other times the Rambam formulates it, by Ger Tosha, it's like in Kofin, Mahotzi, Gershusa, rather than like Mutter, Lakayim, or Lakareza, like the Mashiach, if I have to.
I mean, he emphasizes it even more.
Yeah, so you don't have to force him to get rid of it, but like it doesn't mean that like we should be welcoming him.
So maybe it's also like hinting, you're saying, with that. At this relationship.
Bigger
point about the good. Okay, I said enough to stop. So I want to finish this up with the, you know, we're supposed to have talked a little more about Yisrael Haver, of course, and Ramban, and Shon Sari, and all that. But what I want to start with on Tuesday, Sunday, just to remind everybody, we start a little like 12:05, I'm guessing, on Sunday, is going to be revisiting the Kesef Mishnah issue of Lo Yira'eh and Re'iyah, and especially by this and the relationship between the two psukim. So again, you know, the Kesef Mishnah, the Ritva, the Rabbi David, the Rosh, the Sivan, test, and if you have a chance, I think I gave you to look at the Sefer Yitzchok Sademan, right? Or I didn't. I did. You know, he has a very interesting discussion. He's totally convinced. Fascinating that the preponderant view is that you don't violate Lo Yira'eh unless you actually visually see the chametz, or at least the chametz is a place where you know it can be you know seen. That's his backup for the rush. We'll discuss it. But interesting how he gets to that, and he you know portrays like three or four different perspectives. Like everything is the same, Lo Yira'eh is inferior to Lo Yimatzeh, or Lo Yira'eh and Lo Yimatzeh are, you know, each have nafkamina, meaning the question of the question of but also the question of lo yimatzei, not applying, let's say, bigvul. So then, of course, he tries to frame this in the context of his general understanding of Sajigon's, methodology in the mitzvahs, and then his own conclusion about Rama. So look at, if you haven't seen it yet, just look it over quickly. It's always very verbose, but it's always very fascinating as well. So we'll try to just put it in a little bit more perspective and just add some things. What about Balua? What's the interesting one? And the other things that I gave you already, not going to add yet. And then I want to talk also, in light of what we said today about the Balamor and the Rashash, and reading the Gemara and the Rambam and the Raivid. We, of course, need to discuss more about the Rambam, but also more about the level, I think I gave you some things, of Kabbalah Sacharias. Because again, one of the things we're talking about is Kabbalah Sacharias is violence, Kabbalah Sacharias is Rishus, and that's enough. Kabbalah Sacharias isn't either of those, but it's still enough. It's a threshold, right? So, or maybe even more than that, it's just a compensatory factor and so on. Therefore, it can be pragmatic and so on. So one of the issues, of course, is, in addition to the Rambam, the Raya, and the other ones, and the relationship to Ragori, is what level of Achayas are we talking about? And that's a double question. So, what is the Rambam's view? Tanya? What level of Achayas do you need for Kabbalah Achayas for this day? Which level of Shomer? Yeah. You know what?
Well, the Mahab says what Shomer do is
twice. No, I'm talking about the Rambam.
I don't see the Rambam.
Oh, well, the Rambam that we read. Well, the Mahab says what Shomer do. Yeah. There are three choices mostly. Shomer, right? Two, three, Shomer. Shomer Sakhar. Rambam says, what? So that argument, is again, has two explanations. Right? One is it's an argument about assessing that level of Achrayas and what it means. And of course, in terms of the specifics of our sugya, the question might be really what level, what threshold are you going for? If you're trying to create shalom, that's one thing. If you're trying to create any kind of yachas whatsoever, and again, you can swap it out or it's not going to work, or, you could swap it out for kishasik and all those kind of things, then you're probably going to be very lenient, about the level of Kabbalah Zacharias too. Right? So it requires a little bit that we discuss something we discuss in the Baba Kama, and of course it's much bigger than we can see it. And that is like, what do the levels of Achrayas signify? I'm not going to discuss that extensively. That's why I wanted to look a little bit at Tosis in Shavuos, about Mitzvah, the Din of Rabbi Yitzchak, it's a parallel, about Kidul Mashko, like what level of Kabbalah Achrayas do you require there? But it's extremely relevant to at least according to one perspective, to everything that we're talking about. And then, of course, again, when the Gemara says lo yimatzei makes a difference in terms of whether skewers is counted, the end of the shakti part of the something we discussed already in Nala, right? Skewers counted, skewers well counted. Like, what do we mean? Here, skewers is counted, or you don't really need skewers counted, right? These are all interconnected questions that we need to expand on a little more. We also need to talk about challah and the hema, maybe sarnuna, as other examples of pturim, or hafkaos, etc. To reinforce. So that's kind of the next couple of shiurim. So we continue on Sunday, at around 12:05.